we've worked already with mindfulness. And we're not just finished with it. We continue. We've worked with investigation, and we continue. And that built to an explanation of energy and effort, how we apply ourselves to our awareness and our practice. And that leads into the next factor of enlightenment, which is called in Pali, piti. And in English, we translate it as rapture. It's a quality of lightness, of ease, of joy. It's a subtle mental pleasure that arises out of a joyous interest in the present moment. When piti arises, it has the effect of increasing our faith because we have a vivid sense, wow, happiness actually is possible. You know, it's not just a theoretical thing for monks and nuns at the time of the Buddha, but it really is possible right here and now for us. And it gives us the faith that this path works, the practice works. It has a very potent effect on our practice for the natural reason that most of us like to stay with, stay connected with, and be interested in things that are pleasurable. So because the rapture arises and brings a quality of ease, pleasure, and joy to the mind, we naturally come close to it, stay connected with it. And so it has the function of increasing the depths of concentration, tranquility, and calmness in our minds. But it's important to understand that this quality of rapture is not a sensual pleasure. It's pleasure. We feel it as pleasure. We know it as pleasure. But it's a happiness of being that arises with the cultivation of mind. It comes out of a purity of mind. It comes out of the development of these enlightenment factors, not out of a good taste or a beautiful sight or a nice warm touch. That's a different kind of pleasure. That's sensual pleasure. Piti, as rapture, is a quality of pleasure that comes out of knowing the purity of our mind. And it arises when we start to recognize that some of that suffering of the hindrances is starting to settle. Now, it doesn't mean that we have overcome every hindrance and have now liberated our mind from all obstruction. Piti will arise before the complete eradication of suffering, long before. But we start to sense that maybe those hindrances and those reactions and the intensity of the anger and the aversion is a little bit further away. We're a little bit calmer, we're a little bit steadier, and we can stay present with it. This is important because piti is not a sensual pleasure. We can experience this joy, this rapture, this delight, even when we are in pain, if the hindrances are not present, if the intensity of wanting and not wanting, the struggle with experience has rested. Then even if there's a stabbing sensation in the back or an intense tension in the shoulder, we can still experience a mind that is filled with rapture, lightness, and ease while we're knowing the arising and passing of stabbing or pressure or tightness, because it is not linked to pleasant sensation. It's simply a pure quality that arises out of mindfulness, investigation, and a clarity of our energy, a steadiness of mind. Many times we experience piti just in that moment when we've let go, when we were struggling with the pain, and we just say, let me be with this, I can be with this. And we let go of the struggle, and though the pain continues, the mind is light, there's ease. There is joy, and that gives us a taste of piti. Rapture is linked to the development of concentration, the deeper our concentration, the different states that different kinds of piti arise, different qualities of rapture arise. But but in some ways, concentration depends upon the arising of piti. So the strength of the concentration will depend upon this lightness of mind. And you know that in some ways already, because if the mind is forcing and there's no happiness and joy in the mind and you're tense and trying, then there'll be you might be able to force your mind to focus for some period of time, but there'll be a fragileness, a brittleness, a weakness to the concentration, and it will easily be disturbed. But when the mind is joyful, light, and at ease, then the concentration settles very, very deeply. It's said that a mind that is happy is easily concentrated. The Buddhist commentaries are rich sources for lists. And there are lists of all sorts of factors and aspects of factors. And we're blessed with not just piti, but five kinds of piti. So I want to just mention these five kinds of rapture. The first is what's called lesser rapture. And it's not really so bad, actually. Most of us will be happy with any form of rapture that arises. But the lesser rapture is what begins to arise, that lightness, that ease, when we notice that the hindrances are settling and that, you know, there might be a little aversion arise, but it settles quickly. There might be a little desire arise, but we can let go of it. We're not caught by it so much. You know, sleepiness might arise a little bit, but we can reconnect very quickly. So the hindrances are not disturbing us so much. And this is the beginning of an experience of lesser rapture. Sometimes we'll notice it physically because we'll notice just maybe a chill run through the body or a sense of thrill. Some meditators experience goosebumps or a sense of very keen interest in things. The second kind of rapture is called momentary rapture, and that comes perhaps with stronger sense of chills and goosebumps, that the intensity of it increases. But often in the text, it's described as flashes or lightning, kind of senses of energy pulsing and bursting through us. The third kind is called overwhelming rapture. And this feels like we're engulfed in a huge wave, swept off the ground. And it can be disorienting for many people, but it also can be a very strong filling of experience of being filled with, engulfed by, held by, saturated by this rapture. The fourth kind is called uplifting rapture. And this feels like we're floating. I have yogis sometimes come and tell me that, that they weren't on the ground. They were meditating up above the ground, floating like on a carpet or like flying. And you know, I peek a lot. So far, I've never actually seen anyone floating, but that's the feeling. It's such an intense lightness that we feel. You know, if we don't open our eyes, we would swear that we were 2 feet off the ground. And that feeling of rapture can pervade the walking meditation too, so that we swear we're not touching the earth at all. We're just floating along. Floating along. And it's a really nice feeling. People say that they really do. I mean, I don't want to say that that people don't float in meditation, because I assume anything's possible. Who knows? I've just never seen it. But many, many times I felt this sense of, I must be floating. And then if I peek, I realize, oh, nope. The fifth is called pervasive rapture. And this is the rapture that fills every cell, every pore, every aspect of our being. And when we have pervasive rapture, we will not want to get up. you'll hear the bell and you'll just keep sitting. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, no problem. No problem at all, because the pleasure will be so exquisite, the mind will be so light, there'll be such a sense of ease in the moment that you'll want nothing but to just stay in that experience of sitting. And it's deeply joyful and very still. It doesn't have that agitation of goosebumps or of the keen interest of the lesser kinds of rapture. It's totally still. For those of you that are going to be continuing on to the concentration retreat, we'll be going into more details about the kinds of rapture that arise, because as the concentration deepens, we refine our relationship to rapture. But the only form of rapture that facilitates absorption in these deep states called jhana is this pervasive rapture, where the mind is very, very still and yet flooded, drenched, and filled with this joyous stillness. There are, like I said, in the commentaries, lots of lists. And there's another list that I quite like related to the development of rapture, which gives us 11 ways of supporting the arising of rapture as an enlightenment factor. So I just want to mention this list. You don't have to do them all. Then you'd be too busy, too much of a project. But you might hear on this list something that gives you a hint of something you might do if you feel like you just need a little boost toward that lightness, that ease. The first is to remember the virtues of the Buddha. I have a teacher who said that it was very important to learn to cheer ourselves. And it's helpful to have some ways that you just cheer yourself. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean going and getting some form of sensual pleasure. But we can cheer ourselves with our own thoughts, with our own minds, with how we direct our minds, and learn to find rapture and joy and delight in wholesome states. The second way is to rejoice in well-spoken Dhamma. And sometimes it may be that you're sitting and you're concentrated and you're quiet and you're steady and you're really present, really giving ear to a Dhamma talk. And you feel delight. You feel bliss just in hearing the Dhamma. That's a quality of rapture. And that's a activity that is said to support the development of rapture. The third is to think of the virtues of the Sangha. The fourth is to remember our own virtues. The fifth is to remember our own acts of generosity. So you can sense that already the first five have a lot to do with what we cultivate in our actions and our virtues and noticing the really beautiful things, the gifts and the ways of our being, the ways of our conduct. Oh, virtues. Sila in Pali, the five precepts. What's the Hindi word? Hebrew word.
Mala.
Mala?
Ma'ala.
The sixth, this one has never done much for me, but it's to think of deities. If it works for you, fine. It's never really brought me joy. But I don't have a relationship really to deities. Gods. At the time of the Buddha, there was a belief in many gods, high gods, low gods, gods who did this, gods who did that, and various forms of higher rebirths. So it was a very populous world of deities that I think would be a source of joy, because people could think of the potential for a very happy rebirth, a very joyous state. Try it if it works. If not, there's 10 others to play with. The seventh is to reflect on the peace of Nibbana, the coolness of concentration, or whatever depth of experience we have known in our own meditations. And that can provide tremendous inspiration and joy to just sense what might be possible. The eighth is to avoid people who are rough and angry. The ninth is to seek the company of refined friends who are connected with the Dhamma. The tenth is to recite encouraging discourses. At home, I encourage all of my students to memorize passages of the Buddha. And I let them pick so that they choose something that resonates with them. The students who undertake sutta study with me, I do year-long courses in sutta study, they memorize whole suttas. And it's not so difficult or pertinent passages or sets of verses. And general students might just memorize two or three lines. But something that reminds them and we can remember and uplift the mind just by thinking of some thought that inspires us. People often like, a hatred never ceases by hatred, but by non-hatred alone does it cease. That's a popular one. It could be something about mindfulness. It could be anything at all. But if you hear in a Dhamma talk some sentence that resonates with you, you might want to remember it and memorize it so that you can use that sentence to bring your mind back into that place that resonated so deeply with something joyful like the Dhamma. People use chants for this also. And the 11th is simply to intentionally incline our minds towards the development of rapture. So today, the instruction that I'm going to give you is to incline your mind towards rapture, towards ease, towards joy. You don't do anything different in your practice, but you allow the space for that ease to come through, for that lightness to develop. It can be very helpful just to sit with a half smile sometimes, not a big toothy grin, but just the tiniest little half smile that might not even show on the face, but you feel that you're asking your mind to incline towards what's light and what's good. We don't need to dig deep into the recesses of suffering all the time. Was that yesterday or the day before? That was the day before, was our Dukkha day. Today's our PT day. So we can incline our minds towards this joy and find that we can then explore the depths of Dukkha with a very happy mind, a very clear mind. I want to, before we start the meditation, just share with you a chant that I've been working with. I've been doing a systematic practice for the last few years of concentration practices and working myself through different objects and all of the traditional reflections. And there's one that it feels like, you know, when you get an ice cream cone and there are sprinkles on the top sometimes and chocolate on the wafer and it's a totally decadent ice cream cone? Do you have those here? Mm-hmm. And it's like way over the top and it's like, oh, wow, that's way too much. This brings that okay, it's not a sensual pleasure, but still. I love this chant because it just brings my mind into a state of sprinkles. It's like way too much. And it's the reflection. Oh, I didn't stimulate desire for ice cream, did I? Because I'm sure we're not going to have it at lunch. this chant is basically just a reflection on the Buddha's qualities. But the place that it came in the practice that I was doing was the mind was already intensely concentrated. And then we take like a little break from the concentration to do reflections that don't take the mind so deeply into the concentration, but develop some of these other factors of lightness and brightness and spaciousness and reflection and happiness. And so this one is simply a reflection on the qualities of the Buddha. I'll just chant it 3 times and we'll just settle right into the meditation. Sadaham sama sambuddho vijacharana sampanno sukato lokavidu anuttaro purisattama sarati sattateva manutsanam buddho bhagavati. Arahaṃ sammā sambuddho vijjācharana sampanno sukato lokavidu anuttaro purisattama sarati sattateva manutsanam buddho bhagavati. Arahaṃ sammā sambuddho vijjācharana sampanno sukato lokavidu anuttaro purisattama sarati sattateva manutsanam buddho bhagavati.